So, B'siyata Dishmaya, we're here in Shaar Yichud, and today we're going to be starting a new series of classes. I'm going to be pulling from many different sources, Likutei Moran, B'yam Darkecha, and many other places, whatever I find. We're going to focus on this topic for a few weeks. I'll tell you why it's coming up now. The Beit HaMikdash, that we're all mourning over, all of our lives, but specifically during these 3 weeks. There's another form of Beit HaMikdash that is not a building, but a human, and that is the Tzaddik. The Beit HaMikdash was a place of dwelling place for the Shechina, meaning God's presence, to be in this world in a high, high, high level, right? And that place, you could always come there, and you could have atonement for your sins, and you can come and get connections to Hashem on a very, very deep, beautiful level, right? And so too, now in our generation, we have the same thing happening, like back then, with the Tzaddikim. Meaning a tzaddik is a place of a wellspring of emunah, of renewal, of insight in life, right? Answers to questions, whether they're spiritual or physical, hardships that we have dealing with Hashem, dealing with ourselves, dealing with others. All of those things will be clarified in Jerusalem, at the Beit HaMikdash. Since the destruction of the temple, all those things can still be clarified by going to a tzaddik. Right? It says, "Aselech harav, diselech min hasafek." Make for yourself a rabbi and remove doubt. What doubt? With a rabbi, I could have a lot of doubt in my life. Again, I'm going to be precise here with my words. If I say rabbi many times, I'm talking about a tzaddik. And when I say tzaddik, I'm not talking about an average rabbi. Obviously, there's levels to this, right? And if you're a person, I don't know, in America, and all you have is a local Orthodox rabbi, for him, on a certain level, he's your tzaddik. But you have to know in the world that there are tzaddikim. There are literal people that are on a different level, right? And in relation, relatively, you and your rabbi, no matter who he is, as long as you're his student, in a sense, he's like a tzaddik in comparison to you, right? Because he's on a higher level than you. He's able to be matzdik Hashem more than you. He can make Hashem out look righteous in this world, right? Back Hashem, so to say, and find the good in everything that happens in this world more than the average person. So in that case, relatively, he's a tzaddik for you. But then in the world, there's a thing called tzaddikim. Tzaddikim are people that are on high, high, high levels that do not do any sins and do not act out on their negative thoughts, emotions, or anything else, if they have them. And there's a level of tzaddikim that they don't even have bad thoughts and bad emotions. So we're talking about people that are extremely, extremely, extremely refined. And over the next few classes, however long this takes us, we're going to be learning about what is the whole entire point of connecting to a person like that. But I'm already going to start now focusing on one of the biggest questions. Before we even get into why you should do it and everything, I said something right now that needs to be answered. And that is, Aselech harav, yistalech min hasafek. Make for yourself a rabbi and you will get rid of doubt. And I'm telling you 100%, with rabbis in your life, big tzaddikim in your life, you can have more doubts. You could. There's a reality where you get closer to the fire and it actually burns. It's not all lovey-dovey, fluffy-fluffy, everything's okay because you have a holy person in your life. The more of a holy person you're dealing with, meaning the holier your rabbi is, most likely the more you're going to have to go through dealing with a person like that, learning from a person like that, being around a person like that. So then how did the rabbi say, by way of having a rabbi, you will remove doubt? And to answer this question, Bezat Hashem, we're going to lean on Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman has a Torah in the Likutei Moran, Kuf Mem Gimel, 143, in the Likutei Moran, in the first book. And it's an answer, in my humble opinion, to this question of, let me just say it outright. A lot of people sometimes, they come to Tzaddikim and they ask for a blessing for health. Or they ask, should I invest my money in this business? Should I move house? Should I fire this person and hire that person? All different life questions that a person comes to the tzaddik to. Another thing that we need to clarify for all of those people that are not aware of this relationship with the tzaddik and with a righteous person, rabbis are not only for holy things. Rabbis in America usually only get called for death, marriage, bar mitzvah, or brit. That's it. Or someone needs to put a mezuzah in their door, in their business. To ask a business question? Nah, why would I ask a rabbi that? What does he know about business? to ask about anything else in life, why would I ask a rabbi that? And that's the wrong approach to Rabbanim. Rabbis, Talmidei Chachamim, and specifically Tzaddikim, can answer on any question in the world, and if they feel they can't, they know someone who can. Do not think that rabbis are only spiritual beings, that are only there for spiritual questions. Don't think that God only exists inside their house and inside the shul. Hashem is everywhere in the world, and so too the mind of the tzaddik can cover any facet in this world. And if he can't, in his humble knowledge of what he knows and doesn't know, he'll refer you to someone else. But that doesn't mean you don't ask him the question because you think he can't answer the question. The Torah has the answers for many, many things that you wouldn't even know the Torah can answer. So Reb Nachman says like this, Ma'alat ha-mekabel eitza mi-chachmei ador. What is the benefit, what is the level of a person that asks for advice and strategies from the wise sages of the generation? Ki hu amtakat edinin, asking for advice from a Rav, instead of going on the path by yourself, is the sweetening of the judgments. Ki shitzrich leitza v'eno yodea ech lasot. When a person needs advice and he doesn't know how to do it, right? And like I said right now, people in a lot of times, they think, the rabbi can't help me, so I just go by it by myself. Why would I go ask a rabbi about business? I'm the businessman, he's the rabbi. If anything, he should ask me about business. Majority of business is communication. It's investments, it's money flow, it's communication, it's good trades, it's connections. All of that has to do with the rabbi. And he's probably well more learned on how to control your anger and control what you say and how to do dealings in the right way and the separation and distribution of money. But a person thinks, why would I go talk to him? And then they don't get amtakat edinim. Going to ask a question from a chacham is how you sweeten up judgments. When you need advice, you need a strategy in life for whatever it is, and you don't know what to do, that's, so to say, an aspect of tzimtzum, of a constriction, right? Your great mind has been constricted to the point where you don't know what to do in life. Ki nitztamtzem sichlo, your mind, so to say, is constricted. V'eino yodea ech lasot, you have no idea what you're meant to do in life. That's an aspect of dinim, like it's known. And by way of the chacham, by way of the tzaddik, the chacham, the Talmid chacham that knows Torah, giving you etza, giving you advice, the tzaddik starts to take your constricted mind and expand it and open it up and start to illuminate from his wisdom into your mind. And that's the aspect of chasadim. Your constriction in your mind when you didn't know what to do, that's gvurot, right? That's a limitation, that's gvura, that's judgments in this world. You don't know what to do. As soon as you go to the chacham and he tells you what to do, or if you just have the conversation, your mind starts to expand. That's chesed, right? That's chasadim. What is chesed? Nihiru de chochmata. It's the lights that come out of chochma. El nihiru de chochmata. And it's written, chesed el kol hayom. Loving flow of Hashem all day long. Gam ktiv, it's also written, teshua berov yo'etz. Where do you get salvation from? From a lot of advice. Teshua berov yo'etz. It's from Mishlei, from Proverbs. Vatzadik nikar rav. The tzadik is called a rav, like the rabbi said in Masechet Taanit. Moshe aide lenifish zchutei rabim kerabim dame. Now comes the big point. What happens if you go to the tzaddik and you ask him for a bracha, you ask him for advice, and he tells you with confidence to do a certain thing, and it doesn't work out? He tells you, invest your money in this place, and you lost your money. But you went to ask him. You didn't know what to do. Do I invest or not? Do I not? Tzimtzum. You did the right thing and went to the chacham. You asked him for advice, and he told you, invest the money. It's good. You're going to make money. I see that there's going to be bracha on it. And you lose the money. Now, what do you think about the tzaddik? Again, let's take a few steps back. When you didn't know what to do and you needed help, you went to him. Now that it didn't work out, you want to blame him. Not right, right? Doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound like it's okay. You have a question? Gami mikabel eitzat tzadik. אף שאחר כך לא עלתה לו יפה מעצתו, אזי יודע שהיה רק מהשם יתברך. You went to the tzaddik. He gave you advice. He gave you a strategy. It didn't go well. You now know 100% that it came from Hashem. אך אם לא היה מקבל עצת הצדיק, but if you wouldn't have taken the advice of the tzaddik, you went to him and he said, invest the money, after deciding that you're going to go to him, in order to hear what he has to say and to listen to him, and to apply what he told you, and it didn't work out, then you know it's from Hashem. But what happens if you didn't go at all, and you didn't ask him, or you asked him and you didn't listen to what he told you to do? היה אפשר שתגיע לו הרע בלי גזר דין של מעלה. Could have been that you could have had that same bad coming down to you without a decree of up above. Again, we said, when you go to the rabbi and you ask him advice and it doesn't work out, that was for sure from Hashem. Meaning Hashem wanted you to lose that money. And if it was Hashem that wanted me to lose the money, then I accept it. It's Hashem. What, I'm going to fight with Hashem? But what happens if I didn't listen to the tzaddik, or I didn't want to go to him and I wanted to go do it by myself? The gzerah can come without Hashem. The decree can come down without Hashem. Rak shehu be'atzmo mashach al atzmo. It was you yourself that pulled it on yourself by thinking you know better than the tzaddik. By asking advice and not doing it, or by not going to ask advice at all. Hearing advice from a tzaddik, that a person that's connected to Torah, when he opened his mouth, he had nothing about himself in mind. He only wanted to do good for you and for Hashem, according to the ways of the Torah. And you asked him a question, and he told you what to do, and you didn't listen. Or you didn't go at all to ask him, you draw down that din on yourself. Like it's written in Mishle, Yivelet Adam Teselef Darko. The foolishness of a person will mess up his own ways. What does that mean? I'm going to go ask a rabbi business advice. I'm going to go ask a rabbi health advice. Dating advice. Yes. And if you don't, you're going to mess up your own paths. V'al Hashem yizaf libo. And then your heart's only going to be angry at Hashem. Ach im kibel atzat ha-tzadik. But if you receive the advice of the tzadik, יודע שהוא רק על פי משפט של מעלה. You know, once I go to a tzaddik and he tells me what to do, and I go after it, according to what he said, even if it makes no sense at all, or even if it made sense and then it failed, against what he told me was going to be, then I know that everything that happened was mishpat, justice, righteousness from up above. But if I didn't ask, and then things went bad, or I asked and I didn't take the advice and things went bad, I'm the one that's at fault. Leave Hashem out the picture. Because like we said before, Reb Nachman said, if you went to a tzaddik, you asked and it didn't turn out right, you know that was from Hashem. You're not going to fight Hashem. Then you know, okay, I asked this rabbi and it didn't work out. It's from Hashem. Hashem didn't want me to have that money. Hashem wanted me to go through this test. Like Rav Yom Tov was just here, there's a puzzle piece here that a few minutes later, a few years later, a few months later, it might make sense why that puzzle piece needed to be that way. And you can accept it because it came from Hashem. I did the right thing. I went to the tzaddik. I didn't know what to do. I asked advice from the elders. I asked advice from the sages. And then I acted. Success or not, it was from Hashem. It was justice. But if I don't take the step of humility, of knowing that I have to go ask for advice from a chacham, then I only brought the din down on myself. Right? And a lot of people make the mistake. The Gemara says, a person gets sick, what do you do? What's the first thing you do when you get sick? Go to the doctor? That's what non-Jews do. A Jew, told by the rabbis, first thing you do when you have someone sick in your family, either yourself or anybody else, ילך אצל חכם שיבקש רחמים. Go to a tzaddi, go to a chacham, go to a person that learns Torah all day long, and ask him to pray for you. First step when your person's sick. After that, no one said, don't go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. What's the first step? So too in life. You have business strategies. You have things that you don't know what to do. You're trying to grow an avodat Hashem. All these different questions that you have. And you don't know what path to do. You're in a place of tzimtzum. You're in a place of constriction where you can't think straight. Go to the rabbi. Whatever he says, apply it. If you do that, you're in Hashem's hand. If you don't do that, don't ask questions afterwards. And don't be angry at Hashem. You're the one that made it that way. You're the one that caused it to be that way. And we see this all the time. Being close to a true tzaddik, like Rav Yitzchak, we see this all the time. People that come and want to ask advice and then don't want to apply it, or they think they know better, or they apply it and it doesn't turn right, and then they want to come back and have problems and ask questions. Why, it's Rav Yitzchak's fault? When you had a tzimtzum, you knew who to go to that doesn't have tzimtzum. When you had a problem and you didn't know how to think straight, you knew where to go then. You knew where to go for blessing. Ah, so now that it didn't turn right, it's his fault? It's from Hashem. You did the right thing. Hashem's showing you right now, I need you to go through this. But if you didn't ask, how could you get angry at Hashem? How could you get angry at the tzaddik? And if you didn't listen to his advice, bichlal, we have to know, if we do the right thing and the answer comes down, however it comes down, if we're still doing the right thing, no matter what the outcome is, it's from Hashem. As long as we think we know the better and we don't ask, we don't give in to the system, you're only bringing din on yourself. Go ahead.
But if you're getting sick, isn't the first thing a Jew should do is call to Hashem and be like, why am I getting sick? Please heal me. Please enlighten me on the bigger thing.
Correct, but then you're still sick. So before you go to your surgery, before you go to the doctor, Hashem's always the first step. Hashem is always the first step. Do tshuva, come back to Hashem, is always the first step. Then practically, what do you start to do to fix the problem after you've done everything you could do inside? First step, go to the rabbi, ask him to pray, and then go to your doctors. Right? There's a system, there's a way we do things. So too, right? We cannot be taking our failures and our mistakes and our mishaps and blaming Hashem. If we did the right thing, then that was Hashem's desire and I accept it. And if I didn't do the right thing, don't get angry at Hashem. Check yourself. Torah told you how to do things and you didn't want to do it. You asked the tzaddik when you were down, you thought he was up. You asked him, now that you're up and you see him down, doesn't make sense. So with that, we're going to go in to Emunat Chachamim. We want to remove all of the different doubts and all of the questions that come on this idea of connecting to Emunat Chachamim. That's going to be our goal. That's what we're trying to do. We want to clarify, why is it that we need this relationship? Which a lot of times from the people from the outside coming into deeper aspects of Judaism start to understand that this is like a Christian idea or something. Forgetting that Christians came out of Judaism. And a lot of their things that they know came out of Jewish ideas is just taken too far. Connecting to a tzaddik is a Jewish idea. They took that same tzaddik, that influencer, that rabbi, right, and made him into a god. That was the problem. Made him into a messiah ahead of his time. That was the problem. Is there an idea to connect to a person on that level? That level? No. To have a person, a tzaddik, a righteous person in your life that is super, super important to your connection to Hashem? Yes, it's critical. Is it only by way of him? No. Is your success on the path only by way of him? Yes. Yes. Take anybody you know in your life that is religious and connected to Hashem and doesn't have a rabbi, and you can compare them to everybody else in your life that you know that's religious and does have a rabbi, and you'll see heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. Two different types of Judaism nearly. Almost two different types of Judaism. Why? One, again, is giving into the system. There's a hierarchy. God, tzaddik, chachamim, the rest of the nation. That's how the things go. And his Judaism is completely different, much more connected. Versus the person that says, nah, I just do things myself, I watch on YouTube, and I read books myself, and I teach myself, and it's visual, it's clear, you can see the difference. So we want to clarify more what is the need of connecting, why do we need people like this in our lives, and how do we clarify who to connect to, when, how much, who's worthy of connecting to, who's not, who should I avoid, right? Because again, we're connecting in order to get to God. So it needs to be a clear pipeline. Not a messy pipeline. We want to get it as clean as possible. And it could be you listen to these classes and you never watch another class of mine again. That's okay. It's okay. If that happened and that brought you closer to truth, that was truth, okay. And that's also good. And our prayer as we go into this learning is just that everybody who's really seeking out Hashem with all of their heart, whoever is still left in this crazy world trying to connect to Hashem after everything we've been through, and they have this inner arousal to know more about Hashem in a true, honest, authentic way, without ego, then our tefillah is that these teachings will help a person get closer to that. take that everything to the next level and to understand even more what is the goal here when we come to connect to a Chacham, when we come to connect to a Tzaddik. So B'zat Hashem, we're going to get started in the B'yam Darkei Chacham, page Shin Tet Vav, 315. And Rav Pinchas says like this, by way of the Tzaddik, Dveikut and Shechina comes down on the students. According to the level of the rabbi, he will be able to bring down more God presence and more attachment to Hashem for the students. And in order to get into this, we're going to look into the Tanakh. Look into the Tanakh. We start in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, in the first book of Shmuel, about when Shaul was trying to kill David. Shaul was the first king of Israel. He is one of the most holy people we've ever had in the nation of Israel. One of the most complete tzaddikim, that nearly never sinned in his life. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Correct. Binyamin, but yeah. So it says like this. In Shmuel Aleph it says, Vayishlach Shaul Melachim El Beit David Leshomro. Shaul sent messengers. Malach is a messenger, right? The word angel also means messenger in Greek, Latin, Greek, back. It comes from the word malach, which is a name, messenger. Shaul sends messengers, meaning soldiers, to David's house to guard it. V'la'amito b'boker, and to kill him in the morning. Came to assassinate the, so to say, his son-in-law, who's meant to be the heir to the throne. V'taged le'David michal ishto le'emor, im encha memalet et nafshecha halayla, machar ata mumat. Michal, the daughter of Shaul, tells her husband, David, if you don't run away tonight, tomorrow morning you're dead. Get out of here. V'torad Michal David ba'ad ha'chalon v'ilech v'yivrach v'imalet. Michal helped David to get out of the window. He went down out of the window and he escaped and he ran away. V'David barach v'imalet v'yavo el Shmuel ha'ramata. David escapes and he comes to Shmuel sitting in Ramah. The Ramah is where Shmuel and Navi's thing is, right outside Jerusalem. Outside Jerusalem is a bunch of mountains. This place called Ramah, Ramot now, they have neighborhoods there called Ramot. It's like a suburb of Jerusalem right outside. That's where Shmuel the Navi was. V'yaged lo et kol asher asah Shaul, v'yelech hu v'shmuel v'yishvu b'nayot. David tells Shmuel, who's the prophet of the generation, what the king of the generation is doing to him, trying to get him assassinated. And they go together to sit in Nayot. Nayot is another nowadays neighborhood in Jerusalem. Right, back then also it was a valley outside of the old city of Jerusalem. Vayugad leShaul emor, and it was said to Shaul to say, Ine David benayot berama. David is in Nayot, he's in this town. Vayishlach Shaul malachim. Now Shaul sends messengers, soldiers, again to that place. Lakachet et David, to take David captive, to arrest him. Vayiru et la'akat ha'nevi'im nevi'im. They saw the group of prophets prophesizing. When these soldiers of Shaul show up to Nayot, they see a bunch of prophets together in a field. V'Shmuel omed nitzav alehem. Those words were bolded here in the book. V'Shmuel omed nitzav alehem. Shmuel is there standing, so to say, like standing over them. Bati al malachei Shaul ruach Elohim. All of the sudden, the messengers, the soldiers of Shaul, have a ruach Elohim on them. They have a godly spirit over them. V'itnabu gam hema, and they also start to go into a trance, into a prophecy. V'yagidu leShaul, they come back to Shaul and they say, V'yishlach macher, and they tell him what happened, and he sent other soldiers there. I want David. Someone go arrest David. We know where he is. We can watch him. We can see him. The first group of people I sent after him got caught into his prophetic status. More soldiers. Go after him. I want him. I want him. I want you to arrest him. And they also fell into prophecy. They show up to arrest David and they also start prophesizing. Again, Shaul says, third group of soldiers, go arrest David. And they also fell into a prophetic state when they arrived at David's camp. The Malbim, which is needed whenever you're learning Tanakh, you have to learn with the Malbim. The Malbim was the one that came and explained everything we had the deepest questions on in Tanakh. He brings us all the depth in it. The Malbim HaKadosh comes and says, "V'Shmuel Omed Nitzav Alehem." What does it mean that Shmuel is standing on top of them? "U'Mashpia Alehem Shefa HaNevuah." And he's bringing down, he's the one that's Mashpia, he's influencing on them, bringing down on them this prophetic energy. "Hu Aya Mekor Shemimenu Sha'avu." Shmuel was the source of where the prophecy was being brought down. Right? Imagine, Nayot, there's a lot of beautiful places of grass, open grass, nowadays in Jerusalem too, Nayot, in the neighborhood Nayot. Imagine you walk up to a field and you see the prophet of the generation and a bunch of people in the field underneath him, and they're all prophesizing. And anybody who steps in that field gets put into a prophetic state. And there's one person that's above all of them, the prophet of the generation, bringing down this energy. So what do we already see from that? There's one person bringing down the energy for everybody that was there. "Hu haya haner shemimenu hudlaku benafshoteim be'or ha'elohi ha'gadol." He was the candle that every soul got sparked from, that got ignited from. Meaning, Shmuel was a tzaddik, a prophet, and anybody who would come around him would be influenced to connect with Hashem more. The Malbim continues and says, "V'ashefa hagadola hazot," this great shefa, this great abundance is coming down, "shaita shlema," was complete, "hen mitzad ha'mashpia," also from the side of the giver, the one that's bringing it down, "uven mitzad ha'mekablim," and also from those receiving it. Everyone there was holy, everyone there was on a level. Everyone there, they were a group. Laka, laka is like a herd, like a group. Like you say, laka of animals. Right? A pack of dogs. We call it a laka in Hebrew. So here we're calling it lakat nevi'im. The pack of prophets, the group of prophets, right? Like we have a school of fish, a herd of sheep, so on and so forth. So prophets in a group, we're called laka. It's also another term for a band. Laka is a band. Right? Like Nisim, Jewish Reggae on my channel, there's a playlist called Jewish Reggae. It says Laakat Lashem Shamayim. Band for the sake of heaven. And it's amazing Jewish Reggae that was made 32 years ago in the Kever of David, HaMelech. Shelefi Rov HaKaal HaElohim Itraba Gdusha Ve'ara. There was such a group of holy people in this event that the sanctity and the ara, the lights that Shmuel was bringing down, just kept increasing, kept increasing, kept increasing. Think, you just have Shmuel and David alone already there, you have high, high levels of prophecy. Everybody else that was with them. "Uven mitzad hakesher shebein ha'mashpia b'mekablim shehaya Shmuel nitzav aleihem imashich minhag mekorel pelagav." Right, so on the one side, he who's influencing, holy. The one receiving, holy. Shmuel on top of all of them, and he's bringing it down to all of the different facets, all of the each individual that's underneath him. Such holiness together between Shmuel, David, and all the other prophets that were there. Every soldier of Shaul that would show up with a little spark inside of their heart, also that spark caught on fire. Also, he was brought in. "V'itnabu gam hema," and they also fell into prophecy. The Malbim says, because of that, each soldier of Shaul that would show up would get pulled in, sucked into this prophetic event. They stopped listening to Shaul. They even went against the king of Israel and didn't arrest the person with the bounty on their head, David HaMelech. It was just David at the time, it wasn't a Melech yet, right? The prophecy was so strong, the connection to Hashem was so strong, that they stopped doing their mission. And every group of soldiers that he would send would just become a group of prophets. They would just join into the prophecy. We also see this by the same thing with Eliyahu Navi and his student Elisha. There it says in the Psukim, this is in Kings 2, Malachim Bet. It says there in the second chapter,
וילך אליהו ואלישה מן הגלגל. ויאמר אליהו אל אלישה, שב נא פה, כי אדוני שלחני עד בית אל. ויאמר אלישה, חי אדוני וחי נפשך עם עזבקה. וירדו בית אל.
אליהו comes to his main student, אלישה. And Hashem now wants to take Eliyahu. Eliyahu didn't die, right? But he left this world. How did he leave this world? In a burning chariot going into the heavens, right? So he knows this is going to happen. He's a prophet. He's one of the highest prophets ever. And he comes and he tells his main student, his Gabbai, his right-hand man, Elisha, he tells him, listen, Hashem's going to take me now. I want you to sit here. Because Hashem needs to take me to Beit El. He's sending me to Beit El. And I want you to stay here. I don't want you to come with me. I'm going to leave this world. I don't want you there. What does Elisha say? On your life and on Hashem's life, I'm not leaving you. In other words, even if Hashem told me to leave you, I wouldn't leave you. I'm with you. You're my Rabbi, I'm going. We're going to understand why he's so persistent that he has to be with Eliyahu when he dies, when he passes from this world. ויש להבין, מדוע רצה אליהו שאלישה לא יהיה עמו? Why did Eliyahu not want Elisha with him? And why was Elisha so persistent that he's not going to listen to his Rebbe? What's going on? There's a huge seer here, and what's going on? So the Malbim also again comes to save the day. And he says, דרך המשלים, דרך השלמים שתשוקתם להשפיע משלמותם לזולתם באופן היותר שלם. The way of whole people is to try to give over a message in the most whole way possible. Eliyahu is such a tzaddik that he wants to make sure that the lights he brought to this world stay in the world in the most complete way possible. V'hine ba'od sh'haya Elisha etzel Eliyahu, as long as Elisha was with Eliyahu, lo hayu b'nei hanevi'im she'hem ha'talmidim yicholim lekabel me'Eliyahu. As long as Elisha was with Eliyahu, he was a buffer between all of the students, all of the lower level prophets. They couldn't receive from Eliyahu as long as Elisha was there. As long as there's a number two, everybody else, there's no 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 then. There's a group of students, there's number two and there's number one. As long as number two is there, the group can't receive directly from Eliyahu. You're struggling with it?
No, I understand what I'm saying.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right? So Eliyahu wants to give over in the most complete way possible. And he knows that as long as Elisha is with him, no one else will be able to receive from him. So what does he tell him? I want you to sit here while I go to Beit El. Hashem wants to take me out of the world. You have to understand something. When a tzaddik leaves the world, all of his lights get brought down to his students. Mainly from this story we understand, Rabbi Nachman has a whole entire teaching on this.
66.
Exactly, 66. That the student receives twice. This is the source of it. This is where it comes from. Elisha and Eliyahu. Eliyahu doesn't want this to happen. Eliyahu wants everybody to receive. And he knows that as long as Elisha's with me, only he's going to receive. Meaning they'll need to always come via Elisha. To get to Eliyahu, you have to go through Elisha. And Eliyahu doesn't like that. כי דרך האור האלוהי להתפשט דרך המאורות הגדולים על הקטנים. This is also bold. The way of godly lights is to spread out through the great lights on the smaller lights. Meaning you have godly light, then you have big lights, tzaddikim, and then you have little lights, Jews. How is the way of godliness to spread? To the big light and to the small light. וכל שימצא מאור יותר גדול, יתפלש האור עליו. Whoever finds a greater light, the light will come down on him. עד שהוא יעשה צינור ואמצעי, until you yourself become a pipeline and a vehicle
להעריק על ידו על הכוכבים הקטנים. That you become a big light that can receive godly light and now you can give it to small lights. Right? We all start off small lights. We have to look for big people in our lives, big lights. Why? Because they receive godly lights. We want to get close to receiving godly lights because that's how it should be. And when we get that, we want to be a clear pipeline to be able to help smaller lights also get into that. This is all level on level building up to why we need tzaddikim. You can already hear the hints into where we're going at, right? But for now, that's the idea. And this is an explanation of the reason of why sometimes when you come to your Rebbe, you feel like you have less yirat shamayim. You feel like you fell. Why? How could it be that I show up in front of a holy, holy yid, a holy Rebbe, my tzaddik, and I feel like I'm on a lower level now? When I was at home, I was fine, I was okay. Now that I'm in front of him, in his presence, I have questions, I have fear, I have things don't add up. Why? Why is that going on? It's only for a period of time, that descent. But in the end, when you have to calculate everything and you have to add everything together, right now you're receiving more. Right now what's happening, you're together with your rabbi, you're with your rav, so you're now in his domain. You're stepping into his realms. When you're at your house, you're by yourself. As soon as you show up to a shul, you're with your Rebbe. What happens then? The Shekhinah is by him, not by you. When the Shekhinah comes down to the world, it goes to the Tzaddikim. It doesn't go to the simple people. It comes to the simple people through the Tzaddikim. So now you showed up to his shul. His level of Ashra, his level of Shekhinah is present there. According to what that Tzaddik can build down. And that is much, much, much higher than what you're able to do by yourself. So you feel like you fell. Even though really right now you're downloading higher lights. It's just that, right? I could have beat level 2 by myself. Step into level 45, you get scared. But you're on level 45. You made it. You're there. It's just you can't do that level by yourself. Same thing. At your house, by yourself, you're holy. You're very holy. Extremely holy, connected to Hashem, infinitely, nothing could ever stop that. With your Rebbe, it might feel like you fell. You didn't fall. You're just on a much higher level, it's scarier, it's harder, there's more presence here because I'm in His domain, it's on His terms. Sometimes you don't feel that though. Because the main Ashra'ah, the main presence of the Shekhinah is on your Rabbi, not on you. But when you come back to your house, after meeting with your Rav, most likely you'll feel what you got there. Right? And it's known for people that go to Uman, people that go to Kibrei Tzaddikim, people go to Tishrei 770, whatever it is. Sometimes when you're there, it's intense. It takes you sometimes a few weeks to come back to your everyday life to realize, wow, what a download. Right? Like Rav Yom Tov said, it takes some time to realize how that puzzle piece fits into the bigger puzzle. It's not always immediately. Elisha, felt what was in the mind of Eliyahu Navi as a student, reads his Rebbe's mind. And he didn't want to leave him. Because he had a thought, I want to get twice of what Eliyahu had. The second my Rebbe leaves, I'll have my own lights, plus the download from him. Because that's what happens if you see a tzaddik passing away, you download that light. Especially if you're a Talmud. If you're a Talmud, you download that light. So now what's going to happen? The Rebbe had his own light. You had your own light. When he passes away with his light and leaves you his light as well. So now what do you have left as the Talmud that's living? Your own light and your Rebbe's light. You have double what your Rebbe had. Never to disrespect, never to say that you're more than your Rebbe. Just now in your current reality, you downloaded his lights plus your lights. You have twice than what he had. Elisha wanted this. Elisha was like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to watch you die. Because I want that download. Elisha knew, if I let him go to Beit El without me being with him, I'm not going to get it. I won't get it. And Elisha's mindset wasn't about being selfish. He wasn't thinking, oh, I need it for myself, so I have to. Elisha and his calculations knew that right now, if Eliyahu dies and there's no one that's like really clearly above everybody else, so then there won't be a true prophet in the generation. If the light's just going to come down and all of us will be that much a little bit higher,
So then there won't be a proper hierarchy and it won't be right. In Elisha's mindset, he understood, like there was an Eliyahu now in this generation, and we all benefited from having an Eliyahu, when he passes, there still needs to be an Elisha. There still needs to be one person that holds the Nevuah, and that's how the generation is going to be able to be saved. The Tanakh continues there in the story, and it says, "Vayitzu bnei Nevi'im asher Beit El." All the prophets that were in Beit El went out to Elisha, and they said to him, "You know today that your master is going to die? Do you know that?" And he said, "Gam ani yadati achashu." I also know this. I felt it. I know my Rebbe is going to pass. We have to understand. How did the Bnei Nevi'im, how did the prophets, that they know that he's going to pass away and Elisha doesn't? Your main student doesn't know you're going to pass away, but all of the other people after him know you're going to die? How could that be? The Malbim again comes to save us and says, the Chachmei Aimet, the Kabbalists already taught us, Sha'isha Elohim hu ben talmidav kimolev amichayet et agviya. A holy person, to his students, is like a heart. Keeps the body alive. Right? Your Rebbe keeps you alive. He keeps you going. He gives you the push that you need. And any organ that's closer to the heart receives more vitality, more shefa. You're close to the plate, like we say in English, right? The heart pumps out blood to the whole entire body to keep it alive. The lungs are right there. The lungs get a lot of heart, right? All the other organs get a lot of heart. But what about the foot? That's very far away from the heart. What happens if the heart stops pumping blood? Who's going to feel it first? The foot. The heart, the bump, the when the heart pumps blood, it goes to the lung first, it goes to all the other inner organs first, because they're closest. They receive the most vitality and the most shefa. Who's going to feel the lack immediately? The limbs that are further away. And that's why the Talmidim, the students, came to Elisha like, "Are you aware that he's going to die?" Because they knew he was so close. They felt it first. They knew before Elisha, because they're the feet. They knew, there's something already missing. The flow is not here. And they only wanted to ask him, "Do you also feel it?" Because if you feel it, that means it's close. It means it's going to happen soon. If you're oblivious of it, there's a little bit more time. And he answered them, "Yeah, I know. I feel it. I know he's going." He already felt it. And push forward a little bit just to So now a person in our generation could say, and again, I started a class to teach you why you have to connect to tzaddikim. And what did I bring you? Stories of kings of Israel and prophets of Israel on the highest level. So what are you going to say about our generation? What connection do I have to prophecy? 2025, 5785, 5786. What am I doing with prophecy? How are you going to answer me a question why I need to connect to a tzaddik with Eliyahu and Elisha, David, Shaul, and Shmuel? I'm talking about now. Why should I go ask a tzaddik if I should invest my money somewhere or not? He's not Elisha, he's not Eliyahu, he's not Shmuel. He doesn't have godly prophecy coming down on him. Prophecy's been taken out of the world. Whew, all of us would give anything we could to have prophecy back, right? To be able to know there's a person in the world that 100%, when I go to ask him a question, it's godly. The answer is coming from Hashem. We would all want. That's what the prophets did back in the generation, right? You needed to get slapped around. You needed to have you had a question in life. You didn't know what to do. You needed to be straightened out. You went to a prophet. So no, the answer to that is, Shimumnam nevuah dainei lanu. We still don't have prophecy back. But shefa eloki, godly abundance, there's a lot on anybody who wants it. Whoever wants to connect to Hashem can tap into what's called Ruach HaKodesh, shefa eloki. It's 1/60th of prophecy, but it exists and it's in our generation 100%. And even though in a general aspect there is a decrease of the generations, right? We are going down. And how much the quality is revealed outwardly. But the essence, that the fact that there is Shekhinah in the world, that Hashem is present in the world, and everything that comes out of that, like Ruach HaKodesh and all these other different things, 100% in every single generation, Hashem is present. High levels of Shekhinah revelation, we don't have in our generation. But we have levels, and it's still there, and it can't go anywhere, because that's how the world exists. The second you know that there's no Ruach HaKodesh, there's no Ashrat HaShekhinah in this world, you won't know that, because you won't exist either. As long as there's a world, there's Shekhinah. And the main aspect of Nevuah, of prophecy, of Ruach HaKodesh, is not about knowing the future. It's only about comprehending godliness. We always think about prophets, because of the prophets of the Torah, that they are always about telling the future. Right? That's what we think. But all the prophets that we have in the Tanakh are only there because they had a prophecy that was relevant to all generations. There was a period in time in Am Yisrael that we had over 1.2 million prophets in our country, in our nation. There's only about 48 in the whole entire Torah. Tanakh. All the Tanakh, 24 books. So how could we have 1.2 million and we only know about 50 of them? Because all of the others weren't needed for the rest of the generations, but they were needed for their neighborhood, for their school, for themselves. Because what is prophecy about? Connecting to Hashem. An outcome of connecting to Hashem is that you could sometimes tell the future, you could know about the past, you could understand the present more, but it's only about connecting to Hashem. To be really, 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 truly close to Hashem, and to merit that the Shekhinah comes and dwells on you as well. And to know what path I should go down, on all different facets of life, like we said, not just spirituality, to merit to a true, true, holy life, like the Ramchal says in his book, Derech Hashem. Derech Hashem is an extremely important book that every single person in the world needs to read, especially the Jews. Derech Hashem is Judaism 101. Extremely, extremely important. He says there in the third chapter, in the fourth perek, the fourth part, וממה שיגיע לנביאים הוא היותם משתלחים בשליחות ממנו יתברך. What comes to the prophets is the fact that they are sent on a mission from God, meaning, לא זהו עצם הנבואה, אינו מוכרח כלל בנביא שישתלח לאחרים. The core of prophecy is about connecting to Hashem. So it doesn't mean that the prophecy that comes out of the prophet necessarily has to be sent to other people. Prophecy isn't always about telling other people what God said. אבל עצם הנבואה הוא ידבק בו יתברך. What is the core of prophecy? Clinging to Hashem. Prophecy, we have to all re-understand this because we've been told all the time, prophets see the future and this and that. Prophecy is the process of the deepest form of connection to Hashem that you could experience in this world. והגלות יתברך אליו, ויתלוו לזה הידיעות והשכלות שיתלוו. The Ramchal says, the fact that Hashem reveals Himself to you is the outcome of you clinging to Him. That's prophecy. And along the path, you might know futures and you might find out more information about this world. But that's not the point. The point is a deep relationship with Hashem. When you're connected to the source, obviously you know more about this world. Obviously you get more insights, because you're tapped into the source right now. ולפי ערך זה, according to this understanding, that we understand that in every single generation there is a level of this, כי אני אדוני לא שיניתי, מי Hashem I never change. Hashem never will ever, ever, ever change. וזאת התורה לא תהיה מוחלפת, this Torah will never be exchanged. Therefore, in every single generation, 100% Hashem is preparing for us the path that we'll be able to get to Him and to complete our soul with more knowledge of Hashem. Every single generation, from the beginning of creation until the end of times, every single generation has holy people in it teaching the rest of the world how to connect to Hashem. Question is, do the people want it? Also in the times of the prophets were hated by the Jewish people. Yirmiyahu, Zechariah, Yeshayahu, Yechezkel, all of them, public enemy number one. Why? Because they're telling you where you're wrong and they're telling you what to do to be right. No one likes to hear that. Even if it's true, even if it's from the Word of God, people don't like to be told what to do when they're wrong. But those prophets were needed and they were written for all eternity. The people that complain against them, we don't know their names. The ones that were telling people what to do in the right way, with heart, with love, with care for them, because they love them so much, they want them to behave right, well, we know their names. They're all the prophets of the Tanakh.
וזה מה שיש לכל יהודי ללכת לחפש ולמצוא מי יגלה לו את הדרך ילך בה. לדעת את הבעיה.
Therefore, also to in our generation, every single Jew has an obligation to find that person that will teach them Torah and the path that they need to walk down in order to get to Hashem. No one can do it by themselves. There's always going to be someone that knows more than you. Find him. Find him and go learn from him and go ask him the questions, how do I get to more God consciousness? That also teaches you that the point of learning Torah is to get to more God consciousness and not just to download information. It's about changing my life. It's about getting on the right path. It's about getting past the sword that's spinning and looks like it might kill me. I have to keep walking. I have to keep going. I have a job. I'm in the shlichut. I'm on a mission here. The Torah is meant to help me get closer to it, not just nice, beautiful ideas that make me feel better for 15 minutes. So we all have an obligation to find out who is that person that, for me, will bring me closer to the path and connect to Hashem. And you have to beg and beseech and pour your heart out and not stop crying to Hashem every single day. Hashem, help me to find that tzaddik that has the power to have the Shekhinah dwelling on him according to my level, that I'll be able to serve you, Hashem, truthfully, from an inner way, and to get to real dvikut. That's a tefillah that we all need to put up. We all need a davena, we all need to want that. Because again, our goal is to connect to Hashem. It's never about the tzaddik. It's never about being the chassid of that Rebbe. Who cares? That Rebbe, trust me, didn't care about you being his chassid. Just to be a chassid. He wanted you to be a chassid, he wanted you to be a talmid, to connect to Hashem. And if not, then he's not a true Rebbe. The goal is Hashem. And if the goal is not Hashem, you need to start asking questions. But your goal for sure should be Hashem. And you can go connect to a person with the mindset of, I'm trying to get to Hashem. We have a lot more to learn on this. I can already say it outright. All of these classes, if you want to skip ahead and you're too impatient, all of these classes, I gave them over 2 years ago. They're on my channel. I'm doing it again because the idea came up again. And I think it's important. And obviously, I'm not the same person. So those classes were on that level, and these classes are going to be on this level. But if you're impatient and you have to get to the end, either go by Biyam Darkecha, which is a great idea, or go look at those classes on my channel about Emunat Chachamim and connecting to the Tzaddikim. And if you want to stay on this year's edition of these teachings, so then patiently wait for the next classes. In the meantime, I just have to say, we all need Tzaddikim. We all need guidance. We all need a rabbi. We all need a mentor. We all need a friend. We need a big brother. We need a big sister. We need a father. We need a mother. We need someone that is objectively higher than me. In all different facets of life. And you need to ask those people on the life wisdom that they have. Right? Your parents have life wisdom. They might not be religious. They know the world much more than you because they've been in the world much more than you. Do you have to apply their advice? No. Is it worth asking it sometimes? Yeah. But what's the ultimate goal? To have a person in your life. Yes, a human being that walks, that goes to the bathroom, that sleeps, that eats just like us, that knows way more than you about God and Torah and how to connect to both of them. We have to seek out those people in our life, and we have to pray that they're pure, that they're clean. We have to beg Hashem always to bring us closer to this. Rabbi Natan of Breslev, who was able to be with Rabbi Nachman of Breslev, till the day he died, prayed and wrote and talked about seeking out the true tzaddik. Even when he was with Rabbi Nachman, he still had this tefillah and he still did it every single day. Why? Because again, the goal is Hashem and Hashem is infinite. So there must be infinite level of tzaddikim and there must be infinite levels of connections, and I also change all the time. I need the person that's going to work for me all the time, wherever I'm at. And it could be that you connected to a certain tzaddik for many years, and then you had a change of heart. You still need to connect to Hashem. So you still need to find the person that can help you connect to Hashem. You can never give up on this. And we have no obligation to know who this person is, the highest tzaddik, the tzaddik emet, the true tzaddik of the generation. No obligation to know who it is. We do have an obligation to seek him out, to search, to beg, to pray, everything possible to try to find him. And to connect our tefillah to him. Never to serve him, never to make it about him. It's always about Hashem. B'zat Hashem, we're going to learn more about how do we do this in our generation, what is the path, right? Do we connect to the tzaddik? Do we connect to the Shekhinah? Are we connecting to Hashem? Is there prophecy in our generation? Is there not? B'zat Hashem, gentlemen, just make sure that you prepare your hands for a big round of applause.